Zach Armstrong, the All-American Boy, is on the air, in person. Fellows, girls, hang on for thrills. Wheaties bring you a story of champions in action. Today, we're calling the role of champions of the airwaves, of champion transport pilots who fly their great transport planes across America. First, Jack Knight, crack million-mile pilot of United Airlines.
And Jack Knight says, Wheaties are my dish for the next million miles.
Number two, David Harris, pilot of American Airlines.
And David Harris says, whenever I want a big breakfast that hits the right spot and tastes well, just lead me to Wheaties and I'll show you some real action.
Number three, Jimmy Garrigan, top-notch pilot of the Transcontinental Western Airways, Lindbergh Lines.
And Jimmy Garrigan says, try that sky-high million-dollar Wheaties dish yourself. You'll agree that Wheaties taste great.
Yes, and there are more. Lots more. Some of America's greatest sky aces of today say Wheaties are the dish they like to eat. Try Wheaties yourself. Eat them that famous breakfast of champions way with plenty of milk or cream, sugar, and sliced bananas. You'll say like champions of the air say, Wheaties sure taste great. And now, Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Yesterday, as Captain Campbell was attempting to force his ship through the packed ice floes to reach the Pelican, our friend saw her suddenly catch fire. Now we're on the bridge, a few moments later. Listen.
Oh, the flames are rising higher.
They're spreading, too. The fire is sweeping over the whole ship.
Gosh, we're not going to have much time to make the rescue.
You can't tell yet. Captain Hans and his men are fighting it. If they can get it under control, we may still have until daylight. It's only 2 hours till dawn. Captain, how does the fire look through the glasses?
Bad, Northrop. Very bad. Here, take the glasses yourself. I've got to try another way of getting through these ice floes. We'll have to make it somehow.
Oh, it's dreadful. We're so close, and we can't lift a hand to help.
We will before we're through.
Yes, there's got to be a way. If the captain can't drive the ship through the floes, we'll have to try something else.
What can we try?
I don't know yet, but we'll think of something.
How does the fire look now, Professor?
It's getting worse. The men are working like mad on deck, though. I believe they're starting the pumps.
They'll never get that fire out. It's got too much of a start.
True, Billy. A fire on board ship is a terrible thing.
If we could only get over there and fight with them.
Yeah. I'd rather be there than be here watching.
They're doing their best. They'll check the fire if it's humanly possible.
Can you see Captain Hans?
Yes. I can't keep track of him, though. He seems to be everywhere at once. He got those men organized amazingly fast.
He'll never give up, no matter what the odds are.
No, you can certainly say that for him. Captain!
Gee, Mrs. Northrup.
Oh, Jack, here you all are. Tell me quickly what's happened. First, there was that terrible crash. Then I heard an explosion way off.
It was the Pelican, Margaret. She's caught among the ice floes. We're trying to rescue her. Look there.
Oh, dear. She's on fire, too. How awful. Oh, I just happened to think. What if the heat of the fire loosens the ice floes around her? She'd sink, wouldn't she?
I'll say. Gee.
Well, I don't believe it could happen for some time. Professor, what do you think? Can't you see it better now, how she's fixed? With the flames making it lighter?
Yes, Jack. The floes seem to be wedged in tight all around her at the waterline. They even seem to have lifted her a bit. She's resting high. I believe they'll hold her till she burns nearly down to them.
If they're that tight, I don't see how we'll ever get through them to reach her.
Oh, how can we hope to anyway with all that ice between us?
The captain's going to try to plow through it, Margaret.
Oh, gracious, I don't believe it's possible. Just look at it. And there's far more underwater than we can see.
I know. It's almost a hopeless effort. And I believe the captain knows it, but he won't give up.
Gee, how's the fire now, Professor?
Still getting worse. The men can't get the upper hand, but they're checking it all they can.
Hey, we're due for another bump. Hang on.
Not for another minute. We're moving so slow, it'll take...
Hey, look out!
Boy, that was sooner than we expected.
We struck a projecting shelf underwater. It's a worse spot than we hit the first time.
Yes, it is. We're not gaining an inch. Oh, goodness, I don't see that very good for the ship.
It's too light a jar to do her any harm. The captain took care of that. She's built to plow her way through the ice anyhow.
Gosh, it simply can't be done here, though.
Wait, I believe we are moving a little.
Hey, we are at that.
Well, of all things, the ice floe in front of us is loose. We're pushing it aside.
By Jove, yes. The captain chose better than we thought.
But look how far we have to go, and it seems to be terribly solid up there ahead.
There are probably quite a number of open gaps of water between here and the Pelican. If we can once get the whole factor shifting, we may break through.
Yeah, and every little bit we gain is so much... Hey, what's he stopping for? We were still moving.
Stop them! Hey, stop them! Stop the rumble! Hey, McGregor!
There's a big
blow
drifting
in behind us! We'll be blocked if you don't watch out!
I say, it's all right. I've given the signal to the boat. We're backing out again. I can feel it.
Jeez, shucks. It's one thing after another.
Oh, dear. You'll have to choose another place and try all over again, I suppose.
There won't be time for a great many attempts.
How much time will there be, Professor? I mean, supposing the worst. How long before the men...
I'd say about a half hour, Jack. Possibly a little less.
Oh, dear me.
Gee, and it's 2 hours till dawn.
I'm supposing the worst, remember. The men might hold the fire in check for an hour, or even more. When it gets too much for them, they still have another move to make.
How? What can they do?
They can climb down over the side of the ship onto the floes that surround it.
But what'll they do then?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Couldn't they pick their way across the ice somehow and reach us?
No, they wouldn't have a chance in 100. There are undoubtedly open stretches of water between here and there. And the men might strike spots that would give way under them.
There's an outside chance, though. It might be done.
I'd hate to see them try to force it. They'd need the skill of athletes and sure-footedness of mountain goats. A few might succeed. Certainly not all of them.
You look through your glasses at the fire again.
They're still fighting it. There's not much change on deck. But there's no telling what's going on down inside the ship.
Plenty, I'll bet.
Albert!
Yes, Captain?
How do they stand?
The ship will never carry them till dawn.
I thought so. Then we'll have to think up another plan of getting to them. I can't get through these ice floes before dawn. I'll wreck the Penguin if I keep trying in the dark.
God!
Boy, then that's out.
Oh, Captain.
Yes, Mrs. Northrup.
I just happened to think. What about the plane?
Plane? We have no plane.
No, not anymore.
But they have. Now, why can't we signal them some way to get it out on the ice before it's too late? Then they can sit it together and fly over here.
Couldn't work. They couldn't take off.
Never in the world. There's not a level stretch of more than 10 feet on those ice floes.
Oh.
They'd have no place to land over here anyhow. And I don't believe they could get out their plane anymore. The hold of the ship must be a furnace by now.
Exactly. We've got to work out another scheme.
How about a breeches buoy?
Could your men construct one, Captain?
Aye, it could be done.
That's the thing, then.
Oh, yes.
But we've no cannon to shoot the line across.
Isn't there some other way of getting it there?
No, Billy. No line could be thrown that far.
Oh, dear, then it seems that nothing can be done.
I wouldn't say that.
No, we don't need a cannon. There is a way of getting the line across.
What do you mean, Jack?
It can be carried. Carried over the ice.
Aye, that's a thought they've had in the back of my mind.
But have you a man on board who can do it? You know what it means as well as I do.
Aye, but my men have courage.
I know, but they'll need more than that. It'll take skill. More skill than I believe any of them have. They're strong, but they're not light on their feet. Crossing that ice will take muscles that are trained for lightning action. A quick, sure-footed leap may mean all the difference between success and failure.
Oh, and the ice must be terribly slippery.
I'll call for volunteers. There'll be plenty to step forward. I'd go myself, but I'm too heavy for it. We'll have to pick the likeliest of the bunch.
You don't need to, Captain. I'll do it.
But, Jack...
Oh, no, not Jack.
No, lad, no. I wouldn't think of letting you...
But, Captain...
No, I said. We'll pick a man from the crew. MacGregor!
Aye, Captain!
Step up here on the bridge. Quick!
Aye, Captain!
Captain, I'd have a better chance. Let me tell you why.
Stop it, Jock. I'll not listen to it.
But I'm lighter than any man on your crew. The ice would support me better.
Yeah, and me too. We could go together. That'd double our chances.
No, Billy. It's a one-man job.
It'll not be either of yours, I tell you.
Wait, Captain. Lightness would be a strong advantage. There'll be spots where the ice is weak.
Don't you side in with them, Northrup.
I don't mean to. But I'm light. Rather than see Jack or one of your men try it, I'll make the attempt.
No, Northrup.
But I'd know what to watch for.
That wouldn't get you there. You're not spry enough, Northrup, any more than I am. And you know it. You'd only waste time as I would.
I wouldn't waste time, Captain.
That'll do, Jack.
Captain, what is it, sir?
MacGregor, I want you to call the troops together as fast as you can. Line them up on deck. I'll talk to them. We've got to have a man among them.
Captain, wait, please. I've got to tell you something. You're saying I can't go because you're thinking only of me. But I'm only one, compared with 2 dozen men in danger on a Pelican. They're the ones you have to think of.
But, Lord...
I've got a better chance of getting to them than anyone on board. I know I have. And the best chance is the one we've got to take. I'm trained as an athlete. I'm light and I'm fast. And I know how to jump.
He's right, Captain. You saw him on the football field. And the athletic carnival, too.
Please, Captain. Please let me go. One try is all we may have. And it's wrong not to use your best bet.
By Jove, Captain. That's a powerful argument.
Aye.
Let him go, Captain. The way he's trained, he'll have better than an even chance of making it. If he doesn't, I'm the second best bet. And I'll follow him.
Get a boy, Billy. Captain.
Sure then, lad. I can't refuse after what you've said.
Boy, that's the way, Captain.
You're right, Captain.
I've got to start quick.
You shall. MacGregor, you've heard it all.
Aye, Captain. The lad can do it if anyone can.
He'll need a line that'll stretch across. It'll need to be strong, but it's got to be light as well. We want to put as little drag on him as possible.
I know just the one, sir. It's in the deckhouse storeroom.
Get it, then. Bring it to the starboard rail forward. And start the crew working on the breeches buoy as fast as they can. Get the pulleys and lines and rig our end well up on the forward mast. You've got all you need?
We have, sir. And there'll be no delay. The men will turn to with a will. We'll have her fast and ready by the time Jock gets the line across.
Quick, then. Get started. Bring the lad a pair of spiked shoes from my locker. He'll need them on the ice.
Aye, aye, sir.
All hands report to the main deck tomorrow. Take a line bell and work to be done.
All right, Jock. We'll go below to the deck. Untie your shoes. MacGregor will be back with another pair.
Don't you have to bring the ship around?
She swung around by herself. We're broadside to the ice. Fenders are touching it.
Sure. I can climb over the side and step right down on it.
Aye, and the wind will keep us as we are.
Gee, I wish I could go along.
One's enough, Billy.
Your turn will come if Jack has trouble on the way.
I won't. I'm going to get there.
You've got me believing you will, lad, or I still wouldn't let you make the attempt. I'll not tell you what to think of your pluck or your spirit, but our prayers will go with you every step of the way.
Oh, I should say.
Right you are.
Indeed they will.
If only I'm not too late. The fire seems to be brighter over on the Pelican's deck.
It hasn't grown much worse in the past 5 minutes. I believe we've a half hour yet.
Captain, here's the line, sir, and a stout pair of spike shoes to keep the log from slipping on the ice.
Good.
Give me the end. I'll fasten it around my waist so my arms will be free.
I'll fix it, lad. Kick your shoes off and get into these brogans of mine. They'll fit well enough over your woolen socks. Billy, stand by the rail. You and I'll help him down. There, Jock.
Okay. I'm ready as soon as I get these shoes fixed.
Jack.
I'll be back with you in a half hour, buddy.
Hold his arm, Billy, till his feet are firm on the ice.
I will.
Jock, my lad, there's only one piece of advice I can give you. Don't feel you have to hurry. Take your time and keep cool. Make every move sure.
Don't worry, Captain. I'll get them. Let go now. I'm off.
Good luck,
oh, Jack. Take those shoes, Jack.
So Jack starts his perilous trip over the ice. Will he reach the Pelican safely? Will he reach the doomed ship in time to save Captain Hands and the crew? Listen tomorrow evening for more thrills, more action with Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Now, all you boys and girls, listen. If you don't like the taste of cooked cereal, if your mother has to fuss to get you to eat breakfast these mornings, then here's some news that's going to make you sit up and take notice. Beginning right now, and every day this winter, if you want, you can eat a big bowl of crispy, crunchy Wheaties and still be sure you're getting the very same amount of heat-producing units for body warmth you can get from a cooked cereal. Now, here's the reason why. As everybody knows, heating coal, before you put it in the furnace, will not raise the temperature of the fire it makes. And in the same way, heating a cereal before you eat it will not raise the amount of heat-producing units that cereal will supply for body warmth. But of course, we aren't saying anything against cooked cereal. Many doctors quite properly recommend them for babies and younger children. But the point I do want to make clear is that you can now eat a big, husky, substantial breakfast of Wheaties all winter long, if you like. And both you and your mother can be sure that you're getting exactly the same amount of heat-producing units you need to help keep you warm these winter days as from a cooked cereal. Tell your mother that big news now. Begin eating the big, husky cereal that's just made for wide-awake fellows and girls who not only start something, but who see it through. Ask your mother for a package of Wheaties tomorrow morning at breakfast time. And here's another idea. Lots of grocers are featuring Wheaties and bananas right now. Ask your mother to get some of both so you can eat that swell-tasting combination for breakfast.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran. Won't you try Wheaties? For wheat is the best food of man. They're crispy, they're crunchy the whole year through. Jack Armstrong never tries of them and neither will you. So just buy Wheaties. The best breakfast food in the land.
This is David Owen saying goodbye for Jack Armstrong and the makers of Wheaties, and wishing every fellow and girl listening in the very best and happiest of New Year.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran. Won't you try Wheaties? For wheat is the best food of man. They're crispy, they're crunchy the whole year through. Jack Armstrong never tires of them, and neither will you. So just buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land.